You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Colt Molesky, flying solo today, but you can still find plenty of coverage after you're done here from plenty of different writers on the Timberwolves on zonecoverage.com, where I also work. You can also follow me on Twitter at @CMolesky if you want to share your thoughts on the show, share your thoughts on the Timberwolves, ask questions, all that jazz. Go to Twitter and let me know. We have a game that was played the other night. The Orlando Magic took on the Timberwolves. It was a road game for the Timberwolves. They lost, unfortunately, 108 to 102. It was a crazy game for what happened in it. I'm sure you know what I'm referring to as far as the Bielitsa fight. Belly got into a fight. I know. It seems like the least likely player, I think, maybe for the Timberwolves to get into a confrontational matchup with somebody else on an opposing team. But he was throwing hands with Aaron Aflalo, and it was an interesting set of circumstances. We're gonna go into that right away, just because that was kind of the outside of the loss, kind of the breaking story from that game was you saw there was a shot. And they were looking for, well, it looked like Bielitsa was going for the rebound. There was some pushing and shoving. They had been kind of chippy back and forth of Lal and he for basically the entire time Bielitsa was out on the floor. He was only out on the floor for 4 minutes, 32 seconds before he was tossed. Aaron was out there for 4:30 for himself. So they were both relatively quickly tossed after entering the game for only a little bit of time, but Aflalo just threw a haymaker towards Bielitsa's head, and then Bielitsa put him in a nice guillotine-looking choke lock almost. I think he could maybe dabble in a little MMA if he wanted to after that, after the looks of that fight, but he put him in a nice little headlock. It looked like maybe he was either trying to subdue him or maybe give him a few shots to the ribs. Either way, they were separated quickly. The both sides gathered around the pair relatively quickly. A crazy event. It escalated so fast. Like I said, they're on the floor for only about 4 minutes apiece, just over 4 minutes apiece. So it elevated insanely quickly, and really just right to punches. And it was definitely, and I'm trying to give as unbiased opinion as I can. I know I cover the Wolves on a daily basis, but as objective as I can be, slipping up on my words here. I also apologize for the cold that you can hear in my voice. I'm still trying to stave off, but as objective as I can be, I am going to say that this is all on a follow. I know that that is probably coming to no surprise for some people because I do cover the Timberwolves. But he threw a haymaker, like they're pushing and shoving a little bit, and then he throws a haymaker just out of seemingly nowhere. Now you don't know what they said to each other, but just throws a haymaker. I definitely think he should have been ejected. Looking at it, I've watched the clip probably 10 times today after watching the game last night, and it's probably right away, it seemed like Bielitsa was defending himself, and it was I was a little upset that he was tossed, but looking at the clip over and over again, he definitely should have been tossed just because it looked like he was getting in some shots while he had a flaw in that headlock. So that was the kind of premier takeaway from the game was, wow, that was a crazy fight, and it was really weird to see those two guys, two fairly deep bench guys, getting into it. The overall takeaway is, yikes, that was a rough game for the Timberwolves. A game that Towns only shot 13 times. You saw him with 15 points, 12 rebounds, a solid double-double, but kind of a quiet night points-wise for him. You had Wiggins with only the 9 points on 12 shots. He went back to a poor shooting night, 33% and 0 for 2 from three-point land. The team itself went 7 of 16 from downtown. the Orlando Magic, on the flip side, went 11 for 31. That seems to be a trend if you just go back to the Brooklyn Nets game, kind of the same thing there, where the Timberwolves shot 1 for 11 from three-point range. It's compared to the 14 for 34 for the Nets. The Timberwolves are playing a bad team, and they just get into a shooting funk from range. It really seems to result in a loss more often than not for them, and that is definitely something to kind of pay attention to as they really get up for these big matchups. And you just saw them coming off a 5-game win streak at home against some really tough opponents and crushing almost all of them. Now they're playing the Orlando Magic, and it seems to be one of those cases where we've seen this a few times this season. The Timberwolves really played down to their competition. 13 lead changes in this one, so it was tight all the way through, but this game really shouldn't have been tight. The Orlando Magic have really tailed off after a hot start, 13-31. They start off really hot, really dovetailed after that first month and a half. And so I was talking with some people actually about this game and following the game right after last night. And the takeaway from a lot of people that I was hearing, both Timberwolves fans and just people covering who I know cover the sport for various places, the takeaway was that you need to feed Towns the ball more. That is true, especially maybe you'd like to see him get a few more shots in the post. But this is a pretty big team. You got Bismack Biyombo, Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Simmons, Evan Fournier. You got some big guys on this team, especially in the starting lineup, and they're going to try and crowd, I think, the paint a little more against Taj Gibson and Towns. I really wanted to see a better night from Wiggins, honestly, if I'm looking at this game. And I know maybe I've been hammering away Wiggins a lot over the last 3 weeks and his performance, but this is really a game where if you're going to be the third guy and one of the guys above you is in kind of the roster order of greatness is having a down night and there's a matchup that's favorable to you, they should have been able to take advantage on the outside shooting-wise against the Orlando Magic. They're not a defensive ace of a team. In January, I was looking at some defensive stats. In the month of January, the Orlando Magic are the 27th worst defense in the NBA, and they're not much better than that over the course of a season, but this is not a defensive juggernaut of a team. You should be able to take advantage of their outside perimeter shooting, especially when they have big guys who are going to defend fairly well against Towns and Gibson just because they have some decent size on the roster. So I was looking for Wiggins to have a pretty solid night. You're looking for maybe a Jeff Teague. He had 13.6 assists. Maybe he could have a little bit bigger of a game just in transition, play a little better, speed up the tempo a little bit, and take advantage of some of the size with speed for the Timberwolves. But that didn't happen. Tighter game, and it was really the only thing that kept them in this game at all was Jimmy Butler and his 28 points. He had 7 rebounds as well, and he had 5 steals in this game. Just continues to do work, shot 50%, 40% from three-point range. He was just about the only reason that this game was only a six-point game. I mean, the way that the Timberwolves roster, for the most part, was playing, it really could have been a far bigger deficit for them. Taj Gibson also played well. He had 18 points and 7 rebounds. Those two guys really held it down and kept this game close. And yeah, it's just a little disappointing. I don't want to take too much away from this game. I don't want to blow this game out of proportion and make a mountain out of a molehill, as they say. But it is a little disappointing after really stepping on the Cavaliers, really stepping on the Pelicans, the Trailblazers. They beat the Knicks by 10 points. After really beating up on the teams that they were, they beat the Thunder by, I believe it was 18 points. After really beating up on these teams that are playoff teams, except for the Knicks, to have them lose to the Orlando Magic, even though it's a road game, is just a little bit disappointing. You want them to play a little better. And again, the thing that sticks out is the size and the fact that they didn't really adjust to it. Second chance points, 18-16 in favor of Orlando. You really just want to play better from the perimeter. And if you're the Timberwolves, shoot a little better from outside, get guys like Wiggins and Teague going. If those guys have bigger nights and use some of their speed and perimeter work to really stretch the floor on the Magic, then I think this is a different game. It is interesting, too, that the defense, like I said earlier, seems to deteriorate a little bit from the perimeter when they're playing some of these lower competition teams. And the Cavaliers didn't look this good from range when they were playing the Timberwolves, but the Magic seemed to be able to knock down some shots from range. It's just a little disappointing, maybe a little bit of a yucky taste in the mouth of the Timberwolves headed into the Rockets game. That one will be interesting because of the suspensions. I'll get more into that game on a later show when it's a little closer, but that will be a very interesting game just because there's going to be some absences for the Rockets team, but we'll get into that later. So overall takeaways from the Magic game before we kind of put this issue to rest is that it was a little bit disappointing. They definitely played down to competition. And you want to see guys like Wiggins have a bigger night in a matchup where this should be something that he can take advantage of. He and Teague should be able to take advantage of this matchup. And, geez, what else can you say about Jimmy Butler that hasn't been said? Just 28 points, 5 steals, 7 rebounds. Again, this is stat line from the other night. Just a really big performance. Oh, one other thing I wanted to that I had it written down pre-show before heading into today's podcast that I wanted to touch on: free throws. Only 10 attempts from the free throw line. Timberwolves usually a team pretty good about getting to the charity stripe over and over again, especially in the third and fourth quarters of games. Only 10 free throw attempts. They went 9 of 10 from the free throw line. That number usually is higher too, which I think has a factor. And if you see it right around that mark of where it usually is around that 27 mark, this is obviously a totally different game. But that's another thing where Wiggins just not playing as well, doesn't get to the free throw line that much. He only had 2 shots from the free throw line. Teague as well didn't even get to the free throw line. If he's maybe using some speed on the Magic and driving in when they have odd numbers on the defense, he's maybe getting fouled a couple more times getting to the line. So that's another factor in this game. It's just an off night for the Timberwolves. It's no big deal. They are 29-17 in January. That is a very solid mark. They're right there at fourth in the West. They keep bouncing now with San Antonio for that third spot. San Antonio at 29-16. And while they have an off night, the Timberwolves do on Wednesday. The Spurs will play on Wednesday. So you could very well be back in the third spot. They'll bounce back and forth while Kawhi is out, I imagine, for that third spot in the West. Just crazy that the Timberwolves are right there at the top of the Western Conference, a stacked conference. So it is disappointing when they have a game like this, but let's keep it in perspective. This team is, I would say, overperforming to what we kind of anticipated coming into the season, knowing that they had a lot of work ahead of them as far as rebuilding and everything like that. I wanted to touch now on the defense of the Timberwolves and how that's improved, especially over the last month, I would say. But first, let's hear from some sponsors. Fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. It's a daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in season-long league. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts just one night. There's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wires. Draft even takes care of the last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part? Play for cold hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps, playing a real life snake draft, and just like you play with your friends in the season long league. Come and join me on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in a minute, or play right from your computer on draft.com, wherever you want. And you can go and use my promo code LOTWOLVES to join a draft right now, get some bonus cash back up to $100, and you can play in one of my lobbies, LOW, LOW is the lobbies I have open today to come play me in fantasy basketball for some of that cold hard cash. And you can also follow me on there. So every time when you follow me, anytime I send out a draft lobby or set out a draft lobby, it'll notify you right away and automatically invite you so you can join that, play me, show me how much more you know about basketball than me by drafting a better team. So the Timberwolves have played really well. The December that they have just come off of has been of some serious note. January, they've had a really strong January. So looking at some of the contributors, in January specifically, the Timberwolves, you see their defense go to fourth in the NBA. Fourth defensive rating in the NBA at 101.2 points allowed per 100 possessions. And the defensive rating, fourth in the NBA. Huge jump. Huge jump from where you're seeing it in from last season, but also where you're seeing it from last season. Huge jump in December. If you're looking at the defensive rating from December, you had the Timberwolves in that month ranked 19. So that's a big jump because they were right around the bottom five starting out the season. You've seen them progressively get better over the course of a few months. And then that jump from 19 to number four in the month of January. Huge jumps for this team. That's where you're seeing some of this improvement and where you're seeing them play really well against especially these upper tier teams is the defense has played exceptionally well and taken some strides. Now obviously Jimmy Butler has a big reason to do with that and the defensive improvement. I think you've seen Wiggins a lot sooner than Towns even come along defensively just because I think he's truly benefited from the presence of Butler taking on the number one defender. It's really made an impact on his defense. He has looked a lot better. He has looked a lot more disciplined defensively, and you've seen that grow, especially over the month of December. And then Towns in December, I think he took leaps and strides. I think that he has been far more physical. I think you see that especially in the game they played, just the most recent game they played against the Pelicans up against Davis and Cousins. Far more physical play, far more aggressive on both ends of the floor as far as the boards. Really impressive from both of these teams, from both of those players, how they have grown defensively. And you've seen this roster really do well as a group growing together from month to month. You see those leaps and bounds. The question is now, if they continue to you mess with the point guard, because really with the trade line deadline coming up, I'm going to bring up some things maybe a little close to home as far as players and who you keep, who maybe you send out and try and tinker with the roster just a little bit maybe to help that three-point shooting. The question really is, do you like where you're at with the Teague-Tyus combo, or do you try and move one of those pieces? And it would probably be because of the contract, it would be Tyus that you're moving. Do you try and move somebody to maybe get a three-point shooter? And if they do move Tyus, does that affect the defense? Just, and this is a little bit of a preview of the trade deadline. Just something to think about as T coming off that injury. He's back in the lineup now. And now you see Tyus Jones kind of go back to that 16 minutes a game role. Do you think that this affects the defense at all? My thinking is that the defense of Wiggins and Towns has come along enough where I don't think you see it impact greatly. But I think it's one of those things where you should take a hard look at minutes. And I know that Timberwolves fans, maybe there's a little bit of fatigue on the conversation of minutes. But it is a real question to ask when you have somebody like Tyus who's so good getting around the basketball. He has a great turnover to assist ratio. He does a great job of grabbing steals. He does a great job of getting passing lanes and kind of teleporting, seeing where the pass is going to go and reading and jumping ahead and into passing lanes. So I think there's a real conversation to be had where if you're not moving Tyus Jones, you should be trying to play him more minutes. You should be trying to get him out there defensively more. Another thing that I think is interesting is that Teague and Tyus never play together. I think that would be really interesting if you're playing a team, especially, and I know they beat up on Portland and they beat them by 17 points, so it wasn't really an issue just as far as whether you win or lose a game, but it would be interesting, especially against a team like Portland, if you see Tyus Jones and Jeff Teague out on the floor for a substantial amount of minutes for, let's say, just spitballing here, 18 to 20 minutes. You see both those guys on the floor in the backcourt, and then you shift guys like Jimmy Butler down or even give them some bench time. But it's an interesting concept to look at. I think that it would really help the defense, and I know the defense has been growing, but I think that the defense could even take another stride if you're playing a team that has a pretty deep backcourt like the Trailblazers. I think that's another way to attack them. I also think it's an interesting way to attack a team like the Rockets or the Warriors that wants to spread out the floor a little more. Maybe try and attack them with a two-point guard look. You can even think about throwing Jamal Crawford in there because he's one of the only guys really stretching the floor for the Timberwolves. You could throw him out there. Now you're really working with some interesting stretch speed lineup there as far as where the defense and the offense kind of play off each other against smaller teams like you see in the Warriors and the Rockets and even the Trailblazers. But again, that defense now overall in the season, the defensive rating is 18. You saw it jump up to 4 in the month of January already. The defense is taking strides. I think it's an interesting concept to play with. If you're not moving Tyus Jones or anybody at the trade deadline, I really do think you have to start playing with those lineups and start playing with the idea of playing two point guards out on the floor at the same time and really tinker with the lineups. We're going to take one more break from our sponsor before we close up the episode. What kind of spurs on this conversation, the thing that is in my head when I'm talking about the Timberwolves and messing with lineups, is there's a lot of things that work on the Timberwolves. There's a lot of talent, but when you're looking at the playoffs, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit because they're not there yet, but when you do look at the playoffs and you look at the playoff picture for the Western Conference, You're looking at Minnesota right now. They'd probably have to play Oklahoma City. If the playoffs ended today, they would definitely have to play Oklahoma City. You see the New Orleans Pelicans right there with Oklahoma City. You see Denver right there with Oklahoma City. So bouncing around between a couple teams that know the Timberwolves pretty well. They played the Pelicans a few times this season, and the Oklahoma City Thunder and Denver Nuggets are right there in their division. So these teams are pretty familiar with Minnesota and with what they've done this season, with what their organization and the coaching staff likes to do. So if you're tinkering with this stuff now and figuring out what works, you've got to be able to, all this kind of leads up to, you've got to be able to mess around with your lineup and mess around with what you do as a team, because I'm anticipating playing a team in the playoffs that knows the Timberwolves pretty well and is pretty familiar with the team and with the coaching staff. And so you are going to want to be able to have three or four phases of this roster that you can mess with and tinker with, that you can change up, because having two gears in the playoffs is not going to work when a team really digs into your film and really digs into what you do and plays you over a 7-game series. So now is the time to, and I bring it up, it's especially kind of poignant because they're playing the Rockets. Now is the time, if you're playing a Rockets that are going to be down with players out because of suspension or injury, and you can mess around with some lineups and know that you're still going to be right in this game, this is the time to mess around and play and tinker with lineups and see what you got and what you need to do and what's on this roster and what different things you can put out on the basketball court and have success with. So I know that this maybe has been a little rantish about what they should do with some point guards, but at the end of the day, this is the stuff that you see guys like Brad Stevens really mess with the lineup. You see stuff like Steve Kerr really dig into the deep parts of the Warriors bench and figure out what they have in different guys. And this is all really important to do in the regular season because it does pay dividends in playoff basketball, being able to dive to the ninth guy, know exactly where to put him, who to put him with, and what he'll do for maximum success. That kind of makes a difference in like a game 5 of a random series that that separates the really good coaches from the great coaches. And so this is what needs to happen, I think, for the Timberwolves, especially at the point guard position, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff you could do with the guards and a lot of exciting possibilities there. And it's just a couple of switches, and you have a perfect opportunity, I think, if the Rockets are facing some different stuff. You have the perfect opportunity to do it against them. So that's it for me. I'm not gonna use up any more of your guys' time by ranting about this, but it is something to think about. That's all for me, though. And this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.